Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell, so you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
Hi there. I'm Carol Jurgensen Sheets, aka Carol the Coach, and I am bringing you Sex Help with Carol the Coach. You know, this is the only designated show that talks about sexual addiction. A lot of times we have guests on who either have experienced the addiction, love someone who has experienced the addiction, or are in the experts in the field of sexual addiction. And it is truly a blessing. It's a huge gratitude that I can bring that to you. Most of you know, if you're listening to the show, that you can catch this on iTunes. Have over 65 shows in the archives waiting for you to subscribe for free. So you just go to iTunes and you put in sexual addiction or Carol the Coach or Sex Help with Carol the Coach, it'll take you right to a link where you say subscribe for free. And then you start downloading all the shows on your computer or on your iPod. Now, I totally get and understand fully that you may not have 100% access to the Internet. I mean, if you're listening to the show, it may be that someone has curtailed the use of your Internet. And so you only have a specific time that you can get on the Internet. Or maybe you can only get on the Internet in a specific place or in actuality with supervision. Now, I know that this could sound very debilitating to somebody out there who says, oh my gosh, there's that much control in this addiction. But in actuality, as opposed to looking at it as a form of control, I congratulate you for knowing what your boundaries are and getting the help you need to maintain the boundaries. You know, we've talked about it before. If you've got a smartphone and it's in your pocket, the men that I work with call that porn in the pocket, because without specialized filters, they can get on that Internet at any time, day or night, and search anything that they want to search. And that is what will keep you in addiction. You know, I recently had a man relapse, and he had a flip phone, because flip phones are not smartphones. So access to the Internet is very unlikely. And I hadn't even noticed that he had his smartphone back. Shame on me for not noticing that. I don't know if he had it in his pocket. I don't know if he didn't bring it into the session. I don't know if I just was not that observant. But had I seen that, I would have immediately known that this man was at risk for relapse and certainly a major slip. So again, when you have this addiction, there's some things that you have to do. There is no doubt about that. But when you do those things, they work. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Most of you know I'm certified. I'm a certified sexual addictions therapist. And that means that I trained through ITAP, the International Institute for Trauma and Addiction Professionals. And that means I trained with Patrick Carnes. And anybody who's wondering if they've got a sex addiction or anybody who knows they have a sexual addiction knows that that's the man that started this movement. And he's a genius. I kid you not, this man is a genius. And he wrote this incredible book called Out of the Shadows. And along with that book comes the workbook, Facing the Shadows. And if you're listening to this show for the first time, or if you've wanted to get a good book and you didn't know what to get, that is the two books to get you started. Because in that book, it talks about 7 recovery tasks that help to keep you clean and sober. And so we're going to talk about those tonight. I don't have a guest scheduled, and this is your opportunity if you want to call me. My number is 646-595-3284. Again, that's 646-595-3284. And you can call and ask me any questions that you'd like. Because we are going to be talking about the recovery task for sure. And those are tasks that if you accomplish, you're well on your way to creating new and healthy behaviors that will replace your addiction. You know, I'm a believer that once you have the addiction, you always got the addiction, but there are certainly things that you can do that manage it. And it's important to know what those are, and unfortunately, they're all pretty much trial and error. Now, I don't know if any of you saw the movie Thanks for Sharing. It was certainly poignant and moving. It's not anything that I would tell an addict to go see, because there are a lot of potential triggers. And when I was talking to my husband about this, he said, oh, my gosh, you know, alcoholics can watch movies with alcohol. Drug addicts can watch movies with drugs in them. I'm not getting why sex addicts can't watch sex and not be triggered. Well, in part he's right and in part he's wrong. Because that movie has some very graphic sex scenes. And we 100% encourage, I should speak for myself, I 100% encourage people to stay away from sexually explicit scenes, movies, television shows, because I just feel like it may reactivate the neurocircuitry in your brain. And when that occurs, well, there's no doubt about it. It can create that cycle again. Now, I have a lot of professionals in the field, and they're just incredible because, unfortunately and fortunately, a lot of them have sexual addiction in their history. And so one of my colleagues said, as a recovering sex and love addict, I went through a painful period of relapse after a number of years in recovery, and I was mortified and ashamed to admit that. Now, with many years of further work after that experience, I see relapse as my biggest teacher for myself and as a powerful teacher that informs my work with clients. I mean, isn't that a positive spin? This is a person who's in recovery that treats sex addicts, and we were all talking about whether Thanks for Sharing was a healthy movie to see, and this therapist was, in fact, referencing the issues in the movie that several of the characters relapsed. And how painful that was to watch them relapse, but to know that, indeed, some of those relapses are such teachable moments. They teach you what you need to do and how you need to do it. So this therapist said, you know, today I encourage clients to look at their progress and not their perfection. I think recovering people do best to avoid counting the days and years of sobriety, but instead to focus on continued growth and healing. All the time in the rooms and the work of the healing journey is definitely worth it. We don't go back to the beginning unless we choose to by abandoning the journey altogether. Now, that was a really timely email because I had a client with a lot of recovery, an incredible man who was doing an incredible job and going to 90 meetings in 90 days, and at about day 60, he went off track. And he got back involved with the unhealthy behaviors of sexual addiction. And when he did that, he thought he could fight the addiction itself. And he kept deluding himself, telling himself, I am powerful enough to get back on track and keep this slip or relapse a secret. That way no one will know. I won't disappoint people in the program. I won't disappoint my therapist, Carol. I won't disappoint my family. I will get back on track. And it really will matter not whether I have 55 days or 155 days. Okay, so what he has learned by getting back on track now is that in actuality, he is going to stop counting his days. You know, he said, I really need to stay focused on living in the moment, doing it one day at a time. And for many of you sex addicts and or drug or alcohol addicts, work addicts, food addicts, gambling addicts, spending addicts, you name it, you find that to be helpful too. That's why they say you got to take it one day at a time. Because he began to hold that secret about relapse. And once he held that secret, he was no longer able to get back on track and do a good job. You know, when you're lying about who you are and what's going on in your life, you oftentimes will stay separate from that authentic self that you need to be to work a program. So this email I got from a colleague was really spot on. It certainly paralleled one of my clients' experiences this week. And I thought we'd talk a little bit more about Thanks for Sharing before we go into the tasks. You know, certainly, if any of you have seen the movie, hopefully I won't be spoiling it for you, the main character, Mark Ruffalo, never shared with his sponsor his struggle about dating. He defaulted to the I'm fine, and we all know what that means. this therapist points out, boy, he was as sick as his secrets. And so that's important for you to assess. You know, what secrets do you have in your life? And as we talk about the recovery tasks, one of the recovery tasks is making a secret list. And it's not just about the sexual addiction. It may be about something that has to do with paying your taxes, lying to your kids, being late for work, borrowing some money from somebody and not letting them know. When you have a secret, it can really affect your integrity. The next observation was, the deeper work of healing, of really healing the pain, the trauma, the sadness, the depression, the anger that most people feel prior to sexual addiction, and certainly they feel as a result of addiction, well, this therapist thinks that psychotherapy is not an option. It should be mandated. And in, thanks for sharing, neither the sponsor, who happened to be Tim Robbins, or Mark Rafella, who was the leading man, appeared to have dealt with their issues. As a result, they both suffered and they hurt others because of it. Now, this therapist notes that addiction is a generational phenomena. And so you saw many levels of addiction in Thanks for Sharing. And it wasn't just sex addiction. There was drug addiction, alcohol addiction. And you saw it passed on from father to son. And isn't that very similar to your life? I mean, isn't there more than likely addiction in your family? You know, sobriety is only the beginning of genuine healing. And this therapist says, again, the sponsor may have been technically sober from alcohol and his bottom line sexual behaviors, but he was far from healthy or practicing humility and intimacy. And that's why people in recovery are some of the healthiest people in the world if they're practicing those recovery behaviors. If they're working on humility and they're sharing their secrets and they're working on getting closer to the people that they love, then they really are working a recovery program that makes them a better person. You know, in this movie, Gwyneth Paltrow was this young woman who fell in love with the leading man, and she was starting to date him. But prior to her dating Mark, she said, "Hey, I do not want to date an addict. So if you're a drug or alcohol addict, I am not interested." She thought she knew her boundaries, never even knowing that sexual addiction was an addiction. And, you know, let's face it, don't we all know people that don't recognize or acknowledge sexual addiction at all? They really just think it's bad behavior. They don't know how compulsive, how cunning, how deceitful it is, and how it can destroy lives. So Gwyneth thought, well, I'm going to ask him, you know, is he a drug or alcohol addict? Because if he is, I'm going to stay clear of him. And, of course, he wasn't. So she thought he was in the clean. But what we do know, and we see it over and over and over again, as until people get healthy, they are attracted to, almost magnetized to, addiction. May not be their own. Although as I was watching her, I was thinking, oh boy, we got a female sex addict on our hands. But clearly, she was repeating the same patterns over and over again and expecting different results. She didn't know she was repeating them, but she was. So you had this dynamic where Gwyneth is objectifying herself, acting very seductive, but wanting true intimacy with this guy. And of course wasn't going to get it because he relapsed, which interfered with any potentiality for intimacy. And as a result, when she found out that the man that she was falling for was an addict, she felt that layer of betrayal. Therefore, interfering in the trust and preventing a real relationship from occurring. So the movie is really interesting. And there are a lot of movies out right now on sexual addiction. This is what tells me that we are on the cusp of something very big. I mean, any addiction professional knows that this is a huge problem. But society does not necessarily know it. Unfortunately, until the media portrays it. That's the number one way our society gets its information and validates its experience. So I guess the good news is, finally, there are some movies out that portray this very baffling problem. And again, I so appreciate the fact that you are listening to the show, you're sending me emails, and you're doing whatever it takes to find out what resources are available out there. So let's talk resources for a moment, shall we? And I can't say enough about the recovery tasks because they're really measurable tasks that improve sobriety and recovery, and they put people on the right path. They're really kind of opportunities to create checklists and then start following through and seeing if indeed they can change your life. Now again, in Facing the Shadows, the first thing Dr. Patrick Carnes talks about is that addiction is an illness of escape. The goal is to obliterate, medicate, or ignore reality. And to medicate the feelings of hurt, betrayal, worry, and loneliness. And so here you've got a behavior that initially medicates those feelings, and then, as one might imagine, after it medicates it, initially, it creates more loneliness. It creates more isolation. And it actually makes the problem greater. And that's that cycle, that addictive cycle that Dr. Carnes talks about in Out of the Shadows and Facing the Shadows. So, you know, Dr. Carnes says, you know what? The first task of recovery, and I would really encourage you to go ahead and get a piece of paper and a pen so that you can see if you have had difficulties with some of these issues. Because clearly, the very first task that Dr. Carnes feels is imperative is in working through, when you're talking about your sexual addiction, is to break through the denial. And you break through the denial by following 8 steps. Okay? So the first step is to make a problem list. Because when you make a problem list, you're facing reality head on. As they say in many programs, you're facing your fears head on. So you make this problem list and you write down all the ways that you can think of that these sexually addictive behaviors have affected your life. You know, well, what kind of problems could they have caused? Well, you spent money that you didn't have, or maybe you did have. Maybe you have an unlimited source of money. So therefore, you started prioritizing what to spend your money on, and it became first and foremost in your mind to spend money on the addiction. So you make this problem list, and the problems are clearly interruptions in your normal functioning, in your daily functioning, in your relationships with others, in your ability to work. So think about it for a minute. You know, has your addiction caused you problems in your life? And if so, what are they? How has it affected your relationships? How has it affected your work performance? How has it affected your sense of self? So you see, the goal of the exercise is to reveal your current perception of what is happening in your life. And it can be very scary. You know, when you think of what your problems have been, you know, maybe you ran up your credit card for porn videos, lied to your boss about lunchtime liaisons. Maybe you've had to get an AIDS test 6 times in the last 18 months. Maybe they're non-sexual. You know, Dr. Karn says, maybe your teenager's having trouble in school. Your car transmission is making funny noises. But you keep putting it off because your addiction comes first. So think about how it has caused a problem in your life. And then I want you to come up with at least 10 problems that have currently occurred because of your sexual addiction. Or because of the sexual behavior. Maybe you're not really ready at this point to call it sexual addiction. Okay, so that's going to be some homework assignment. I want you to do that so it can help you to work through the denial that we all have whenever we think that a compulsive behavior is manageable or not interfering in our lives. Now, you may say, it's not unmanageable yet. Well, then let's look at the next list. It's important for you to create a secret list. And a secret list is exactly as it sounds. You know, not only are you being dishonest, but you kind of carry that emotional baggage around of knowing that you're being dishonest. And so, you know, one is you know that you're not being transparent and authentic. Two is you're always worried that maybe you'll be discovered and found out. Three is that deep down inside, you end up believing some of your own perceptions and distortions. You know, an addict often tells a story long enough and starts to live as if the story is reality. But really, what that entails is becoming 100% honest with what's going on around you. For anybody who's relapsed, they have lied to themselves about the amount of time they've spent on the illness. They have lied to themselves about their recovery time. They have done whatever it has taken to keep that part of their life in secret. So we want to know, what are your secrets and from whom have you kept them from? You know, who doesn't know about your secrets? Is there anybody who knows the truth about your secrets? Okay, I want you to think about that. I want you to add that as homework number 2. It's to be followed directly after you write your problems. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the 8 defense mechanisms that you probably use that allow you to excuse yourself and your behaviors. You're listening to Sex Help with Carol the Coach, and we're going to be finding out more about Patrick Carnes' recovery path when we come back.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people. Every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell, so you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself? I got an interesting...
I have an interesting experience, and so that obviously is a little bit about Russell, you know, truck driver on the road, isolated a lot, and obviously he hides in his own secret because he can't. And so I hope that if you're tuning in late, you'll realize that it's important for you to definitely talk about what it is that are the problems in the sexual addiction and then what it is that are the secrets. All right, we have a caller on the line. Caller, can I help you?
Hey, yeah, this is Mark. I'm calling from Boston.
Uh-huh. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Hey. So, I think I'm addicted to sex, but it goes a little beyond that.
Okay. You want to talk about it?
Yeah. Sorry if I pause. It's hard to talk about. You know, it's the first time I've really ever talked to someone. So
okay.
It's kind of hard if you wouldn't mind helping me.
Okay, tell me what makes you think that you might have a sexual addiction.
Well, see, this is so hard, ma'am.
Well, go ahead. Let's talk about it. What's going on?
Well,
I applaud you for calling the show and taking the risk, and obviously it sounds like you want to get better. What are some of the behaviors that lead you to believe that there may be some issues in your life?
Well, I'm addicted to having sex with girls who fart.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what that entails. I understand that everybody does it. You know, if you've ever heard Dr. Oz talk about it, it happens approximately 7 to 17 times a day in every person. And therefore, obviously, you talked about the fact that this is something that has been bothering you, and I totally understand that. And so what I would advise you to do, Mark, is I'd advise you to look in the Boston area. Go to www.sexhelp.com and look up a certified sexual addictions therapist and call that person and see if you might not get some help. Because obviously there's a part of you that's listening to this show because you know you have some peculiar behaviors. I get that. And so probably, whether that behavior is real or not, it is something that you need to pay attention to and you probably need some help for. There's no doubt that you're listening to this show because there's something unusual about your relationships with women. And so I'd encourage you to go ahead and do that. And good luck to you, because clearly when somebody listens to a show about sexual addiction, they probably have additional problems that they need to work on. So thanks for calling. And again, anybody can call 646-595-3284. Now, before the break, we were talking about the fact that there are plenty of defense mechanisms that you may use to keep your lies, secrets, and excuses going. And so I wanted to go over what some of those are, because you know that you use them. You lie to yourself. You tell yourself that the behaviors aren't that bad. Maybe you tell yourself, oh, there's nothing wrong with me joking around about this issue. Or this is just guys being guys. If you're a woman, you may say, this is what guys want. They want a sexually promiscuous woman. And so the 8 defense mechanisms that are typically used around addiction are minimization, which includes minimizing or making small the issue, the problem. Maybe you're using justification. You know, yeah, if your wife had more sex, you wouldn't have to go to massage parlors or prostitutes. Maybe you're rationalizing your behavior. You know, you're telling yourself, oh, everybody does this. This truly isn't a problem. Maybe you are displacing your feelings. And so what ends up happening is instead of dealing with the real problem, you displace your feelings onto something else. Well, if my boss wasn't such a tyrant, I wouldn't look at as much porn as I do at work. Or, you know, if my kids weren't so tough to deal with, I wouldn't need to be gone and be away from the house. So, okay, we've got minimization. We've got justification. We've got rationalization. We have displacement. Then there's something called suppression, and that's when you suppress your real feelings about something, and so you don't deal with them. Or repression. You actually hide them in the unconscious, and you don't even know that you have them. And people that have been traumatized very severely may repress or suppress their thoughts, their feelings, and their beliefs because it wasn't safe as a kid to work them out. And so again, you know, it is so important to know what some of these excuses are about. And then to write down, you know, what are your excuses? Because they actually create more of the problems and the secrets. And so when you really get to looking at those, wow, then you're much more able to deal with your secrets. And that is so important. It's important to be able to do that. So label your excuses to the best of your ability. And then I'm going to ask you to follow the guidelines in facing the shadows, because they actually want you to note the date at which you realized you were distorting the reality. Now, that can be very, very difficult. But addicts create rationales for their behavior. And they usually blame somebody else for their problems, or they argue to themselves that they have unique circumstances. So the real issue is coming clean with what's going on inside, and that's important. Okay, once you start working on those excuses, those rationalizations, those justifications, you may say to yourself, oh my gosh, I use so many of those. Well, that's okay. Insight is the first step to getting healthy. So the last thing that I want you to look at for this week are the emotional, the physical, the spiritual, the family, and the career consequences that have occurred because of your sexual addiction. You know, I mean, there may be some legal ones. There may have been some consequences to your health. You may have felt suicidal, felt those kind of emotional consequences, loss of self-esteem, loss of goals. Those are all emotional. But clearly, if you've lost a job or you haven't self-actualized and moved up in your work, that may be because your sexual addiction has robbed you of that. And boy, when you think about all the different consequences, you are then working diligently on breaking the denial, which, if you remember, that is task number one in this series of seven tasks that we are going to be looking at as we break the denial and get you healthy. So, denial is in itself a defense mechanism. You know, it may have at some point kept you safe, but anytime we use denial to extremes, we clearly and understandably use it to keep us from facing the truth and getting healthy. So, okay, think about your level of denial. If you're listening to this show, I know that you are working diligently on deciding what you need to do to get healthy. And if you're like most addicts, you're starting to realize how far from reality you have been living. You know, ask yourself how many of these things apply to you. Have you ever ended up in a massage parlor when you promised yourself that you wouldn't? You were unable to honor your marriage commitment. You may have had sex for money. You may have had sex with people of the opposite sex for the intrigue. You may have taken some sexual risks with employees. Did you masturbate in public? Did you exchange sex for drugs? Perhaps you exposed yourself and took a real legal risk of being discovered. You know, I remember when I was talking to a woman who felt she was a sex addict, it came to be that she realized that when she woke up the next morning and he had taken all of her money and her credit cards, and he had charged thousands of dollars to her credit card bill. Have you ever been arrested for lewd behavior? Did inappropriate things in a restroom? Made anonymous calls? Sent anonymous emails? Sent pictures of yourself or inappropriate pictures of somebody else? These are all indicators that your behavior is out of control, and that lends itself to sexual addiction. Now, if any of those things sound like you, you probably need to get some help. And the two most important resources that you can access are starting therapy with a certified sexual addictions therapist and joining a 12-step program that deals with sex addiction. That may look like Sex Anonymous, 12-step groups, or Sex Addiction Anonymous groups, SAA. So you got SA and you got SAA. And if you've never heard the show before, you can access 12-step groups by Googling them. And if you no longer have access to the internet, then you need to talk to your wife, your husband, someone you trust, and say, get that information for me. And if there are no meetings in your area, you can always be a part of telephone 12-step meetings. There's no reason that you can't get the help you need. Now, granted, I truly believe that if you're going to use telemeetings as your number one support for 12-step, the process is probably going to be slower. It just is, because face-to-face is always more meaningful and does some of the repair work that you need to do. However, I can't emphasize enough how important seeking a therapist who has expertise in this and finding the support group you need to break through that denial by identifying what your problems are, identifying what the secrets are, and the consequences of your actions. I mean, just think about it. That is the start of getting the help you need. And once you realize you have a problem, you don't have to call it addiction, but you do have to know that it 100% interferes with your functioning. Then we'd ask you to get a sponsor because you need specific guidance. You need somebody to help you. You know, I recently had a young man who had done really well for a period of about 2 months. And then he participated again in some behaviors that were similar to those in Thanks for Sharing. You know, he had hid cameras and taken pictures of women without their knowledge. What was the first thing he did? Well, he called me. What was the first thing I did? I hooked him up with another man in the program. This was a young college age man, and, you know, I knew that truly he needed the guidance of somebody wise, somebody who had been there, and somebody that could encourage him to get involved with the 12-step program. Now, when you're looking at getting a sponsor, it's important to find a sponsor who has a lot of recovery time. And that can be tough in this field. So ask the guys in your meetings, hey, who has the most recovery time in this meeting? You know, get the names of 5 or 6 people that have years and years of recovery time, because they're the people you're going to want to emulate and get some help with, you know, from. There's no shame in that. As a matter of fact, you're more likely to break the denial, share your secrets, your problems, the consequences, and understand your defense mechanisms if you're with somebody who's been there, done that, and that is a sponsor. Okay, so that's the first recovery task, is breaking the denial. And it is so important to do that so that you can recognize that you do have a sexual addiction. We'll talk more in future shows about task number 2 through 7. But right now, I want to make sure that you have, understandably, work through the denial and realize that you truly do have a problem. That's first and foremost on my list. And you can always email me at carolthecoach@aol.com with your questions, your concerns, and your situations. You know, I don't like to do Skype therapy, because I want you in my office or I want you to see somebody face-to-face. Again, that's the most intensive treatment. But if you're in an area where you don't have therapist access, certainly we'll consult with you so that you begin to get the proper help that you need. And if it has to be slower because you don't have access to 12-step meetings, you live in the rural parts of Africa or Britain or Yugoslavia or you get the idea. If you're in an area that's fairly remote, you may not have those resources. It should not inhibit your recovery. You need to look for ways of strengthening that. Maybe you have to double up on your reading and do your meditations and, of course, spend time praying. But those are other recovery tasks. I will get into those later on. Now, next week we have Wendy Conquest, who has written, well, she's actually compiled. It's really interesting. She has a lot of experience in the field of sexual addiction. And she has compiled letters to a sex addict. In other words, she has, she's a national speaker, teacher, writer, and psychotherapist. And she's compiled these letters inspired by real life. They're fictional letters. And they express what the partner of a sex addict is thinking and feeling. And the simple book reveals the complex challenges of loving someone whose out-of-control sexual behavior has cracked the very foundations of love, trust, and intimacy in a committed relationship. So, this is an amazing woman who has written Letters to a Sex Addict, The Journey Through Grief and Betrayal. Again, her name is Wendy Conquest. We're going to have her on next Monday. So we'll look forward to seeing you then. And you can really understand how the partner feels as you understand and hear these letters that Wendy has fictionally written, compiled from personal experience as well as so many of her clients. She's going to talk about that. I'm looking forward to interviewing her. All right, so we have to end the show, and as I do say on every show, you know, there'll only be one of you at all times, so I fearlessly want you to have the courage to be yourself. But you have to like that self. So it's important to fearlessly follow through on the task to make you the best person ever. We'll see you next week for more sex help with Carol the Coach. Have a good one.